नहीं करते जी, नहीं करते, नहीं करते। ठीक है जी, ओके फोक्स, आई थिंक इट्स अबाउट टाइम वी बिगेन। वी हैव गिवन पीपल द कस्टमरी 2 or 3 minutes टू जॉइन। थैंक यू वेरी मच फोक्स, वेलकम टू द पीआईडी वेबिनार। वी आर ऑन अ क्वेस्ट टू लर्न अबाउट द एनर्जी सेक्टर, द 5.5 ट्रिलियन लॉस दैट वी हैड इन द लास्ट 10 11 इयर्स। इट्स अ ह्यूज लॉस which is much larger than an education budget or many other budgets. So we should be very careful on when are we going to address this problem? There are so many leakages in this economy. How can we survive? So this is the request for our knowledge. So far, what we've learned is we've had some excellent speakers, and our round table is here too. We have today with us Aisha Ali from LUMS. She's going to give us a view on how to develop the, I mean, basically today what you're going to discuss is how do we really move forward in this area. We've talked about the loss, we've talked about the energy planning and investments. What we've learned so far is that we've got an extremely mismanaged sector where nobody's clear on what their rules are. It's like playing cricket where everybody is doing this different things, nobody's coordinating. So to understand our prime minister's analogy, all of us want to be wicket keepers, bowlers, batsmen at the same time, and that's the kind of game that we are playing in the energy sector. The planning is so bad that we are setting up projects left, right and center, so with all kinds of sometimes coal, sometimes gas, sometimes this, we are not, we learned last time, many people told us that we need to make sure that all, everybody is using electricity, for example, and that everything goes into electricity. So the number of things that we are learning, and we will inshallah keep codifying them. Today, let's talk about how we can set up an energy market. Everybody talks about the electricity market. How can we move forward? So I think we've got three great speakers today, and we've got a panel. We've got Aisha Ali, we've got Amir Durrani, we've got Shahid Sattar. Aisha Ali is from LUMS. Amir Durrani has his own firm, an entrepreneur, plus a former World Banker, has worked in the energy sector for a while. Shahid Sattar is a former member of the Planning Commission and has worked in the energy sector for a long time in many capacities. At our round table, as usual, we've got Armina Malik, we've got Tahir Bisharat Chima, we've got Rashid Aziz, we've got Waqar Zakaria, Waqas bin Najib, Akhtar Ali. So I think the round table, we've got many other people too. So I'm expecting that we give the speakers a few minutes to speak first, then we get to the round table. After that, we'll get to the audience. So let's try and have as informed a discussion. Our job is to stay ahead of the media. We don't want to compete with the media. We want to ensure that we have a very erudite, very complex discussion on the system so that we understand it from a research perspective. So with that, let me move to Aisha Ali. Aisha, please, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Nadeem Saab, and thank you to you and to PIED for organizing this series and this roundtable. And this has been really useful. And you know, we are learning a lot from it. And I hope today that you know, we can you know, discuss this, take this further along the directions that you have indicated. So without further ado, what I'll do is that I'll have some slides, which so, okay, so I guess someone is already playing the slides, or should I run them?
The slides, I can see the slides.
Okay, let me run them on my own.
Go ahead, you
do
it.
That's fine. Okay, I'll do it. Okay. And so just so I can just move through at my own pace. So I hope people can see now.
We can see it.
Okay, great. So let's move ahead. So today what I'll be talking about is envisioning the future of electricity market in Pakistan. We are passing through really challenging times. There's a lot of uncertainty.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Please switch off your mics, folks. Let Aisha speak. Go ahead, Aisha.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we are passing through challenging times. There's a lot of uncertainty as to how this will progress. But let's see, you know, the what the status quo has been so far and where we are right now. So just to begin with what Pakistan's plan was in terms of transitioning to competitive markets. So in 2015, the first time that this proposal was laid on the table and it was approved by ECC, and they decided to introduce a competitive trading and bilateral contracts market, which is basically a wholesale competitive market for the electricity sector. And CPPA was to act as the market operator. And what it would do is that it would basically set up this market where buyers and sellers could trade electricity both in real time and through long-term contracts. And NEPRA's job, as usual, would be to be the regulator to oversee the competition in both the generation and the distribution end. Okay. Now, it took a while before this plan could even, you know, there could be even any movement on this. And it was only in 2018 where CPPAG was tasked to develop the details of this model. Okay. And then from then that point onwards, there began a series of stakeholder consultations, which were led by NEPRA. And NEPRA was basically tasked with obtaining consensus feedback from all the potential players who would be participating in this market. Finally, in December 2019, the high-level plan, which was proposed by CPPA, was approved. And CPPA was further directed to produce a detailed implementation plan, okay? So today, what I'll do is that I'll not talk about the contours of that plan or the details of that plan. I believe there are other experts at the table who can talk more about that. But what I'll do, and I hope with this introduction, we can begin to then discuss in more detail the contours of the plan or the features of the market, is to begin with a high level, big picture overview of how electricity markets can be organized, sort of like the canonical models and the canonical benefits. I'll go over those. But not, you know, I'll spend less time on that. And then I'll talk more about what needs to be done to realize the fruits of competition if we are to actually go ahead and at some stage be able to transition to competitive electricity markets. What would be required given the status quo that we have in the sector right now to actually realize the true fruits of competition in the electricity market? Okay. So to begin with, in any market, we must first be clear about the desired goals. So the you know, usual kind of goals that people put forward in favor of markets or competition are lower prices, right? So we would like, with competition, we are able to get prices as close to marginal cost as possible. In terms of output, we'd like that, you know, we can balance supply and demand. We can have more reliability in terms of supply. We can have better quality supply and all those features which basically make consumers more satisfied with receiving the service. Apart from that, there are going to be other goals which competitive markets are not necessarily going to achieve. One of those is access, okay? And access in terms of both affordability, so how much does power cost, and also in terms of distribution, like who gets what, and you know, are the underserved areas going to get access? Are we going to be able to ensure universal access at affordable rates or not? So all those objectives are also important from the perspective of this country. Moreover, we also need to be cognizant that there is a public good feature of this market, namely the transmission infrastructure, which if left to the competitive market on its own, we will not achieve optimal investment in that. So we need to be careful about that, and those will be additional goals which need to be taken into account in terms of investment into future capacity enhancement in the transmission sector, and if, you know, we went to the retail model, into the distribution sector as well. And finally, environmental externalities, which are not a topic of this session, but I believe they deserve a separate topic or session on their own. And, you know, those need to be also taken into account, and those would be desired objectives that, you know, we should aspire to or aim to meet through, you know, the kind of regulations, the kind of structures we introduce in this sector. So moving forward, we know that the traditional way in which electricity markets were organized were through vertical integration. There would be one company. So for example, like the old VAPTA of old days, or the KE, Karachi Electric of current times, which take care of all the three functions, the generation, the transmission, and the distribution. And basically this is the model with the least amount of competition because there is a natural monopoly, which is serving the market. as we move forward, which is the current status in most of Pakistan today, which is a single buyer model, where you've got multiple generation companies, there's not a lot of competition amongst these because we have basically signed long-term contracts. But still, you know, we've allowed the private sector to participate and to enter, you know, after some processes to enter this sector. There are multiple distribution companies, but these companies are not competing with one another. They are basically monopolies in their own areas, okay, and they are regulated. So moving forward, what we want to move towards is the wholesale market model, which is the plan which CPPA is basically tasked to develop, right? So let's explain quickly what this model is. Basically, you've got a situation where you've got multiple buyers, which are going to be the distribution companies, and they're participating in a wholesale market to buy electricity from generation companies, okay? And this market could be a spot market, you know, these trades could be occurring real time, or this market could be run as a futures market as well, or these buyers and sellers could contract bilaterally and write fairly long-term contracts. Okay. Now, all of these models are possible within the wholesale market, but the key feature is that we need to have an independent market operator, also called independent system operator, which you see here, you're supposed to run the market, either the spot market or the futures market. The contracts could take place bilaterally, and the market operator does not need to be involved here. Okay. So this is, in a nutshell, you know, what the wholesale market basically achieves. And the idea is that, you know, in the spot market, you since there is competition between both the generation companies and the buyers who are the distribution companies, you should get lower prices. Okay, so that's like the theoretical idea. Now, see here, you know, at the end of the consumers, this market is still regulated because you've not introduced competition between or amongst the generation companies at the consumer end. Okay, and we'll talk about that later. But so far, this is the model that, you know, we are moving towards, or we hope to move towards. And the discourse will still remain regulated through, you know, the current mechanism, which is basically a cost-based mechanism in which NEPRA looks at the cost of distribution and determines the appropriate tariff that the DISCO should be charging, which is then, you know, covered by the tariff differential subsidy according to whatever price the government notifies, okay? So in terms of, you know, what will happen if we are to transition to this model, we know that since part of the market is going to be not competitive, we still need regulation. In particular, the retail price will still need to be regulated, and government needs to decide if we are most likely going to continue with the status quo, with more powers for NEPRA, perhaps given the IMF conditionalities. And apart from that, we also need prices and rules for access to the common resource, which is the transmission network. Because remember, the transmission network is something which needs to be shared. Okay, so that's what will be developed in the plan by CPPA, and is already, you know, some, you know, different facets of that are being looked at. And then rules for financing investments in transmission investments, you know, where there are bottlenecks, where there are price fluctuations, you know, we need to direct investments towards those areas. But how are we going to finance those investments? You know, how are the different players going to contribute towards that? Those will need to be determined through regulation. And finally, this the last point, which I'll talk more about in one of the examples where I talk about different countries and experiences from there, is oversight to prevent non-competitive behavior in the market. Because even when we liberalize the wholesale market, we allow multiple generation companies, multiple distribution companies to basically compete here, we must be careful, because there is still potential for non-competitive behavior, because some of these are going to be able to get together, form cartels, or, you know, perhaps they're big enough on their own to affect the market in different ways. Okay, so moving ahead then, the transitional issues which are being discussed right now are how to take care of the existing long-term contracts. So remember that, you know, we've signed contracts with IPPs, the generation companies. How are we going to allocate these? What's going to happen if we are to move to a competitive wholesale market? We could directly assign them to the DISCOs, or we could have a transitionary phase in which we have a special body take care of these contracts until the DISCOs are ready to take those over. So all those details need to be discussed in the plan. Two last points related to the transition, which is basically the capacity of the market operator and the capacity of the market participants, because this market is going to be fairly complex. It's going to require capacity on various fronts, both operational capacity to basically organize and run this market, for these participants to have legal capacity to participate, to write contracts, etc., to have financial capacity, and to have the appropriate human resource expertise. All of those things will need to be taken care of. Okay. Finally, the fourth way in which we could organize the electricity market, which would introduce the greatest amount of competition, is if we were to go for the retail market model. Okay. Now, countries have not traditionally jumped directly from, you know, 1 to 4 or 2 to 4. They've always sort of like, you know, first set up the wholesale market and then transition to 4, because 4 is essentially wholesale markets plus retailer competition. Okay, so you cannot have the retailer competition until you have a well-functioning wholesale market. Now, what happens in retailer competition? You basically unbundle the two services which the discos are providing. Okay, now you can think of there being two things which the discos give to the consumers in terms of power delivery. One is the infrastructure or the lines over which the power is delivered, and the second is the power itself. Okay, retailer competition can only be achieved if you unbundle these two aspects and you basically have a stripped down version of the DISCO, which is the line company, a company which just manages the lines similar to the transmission infrastructure. And then you have multiple providers. These are called retailers or market companies or whatever you call them. These are going to be competing with one another to get customers. Okay, so let's say in Lahore, I would have the option of, you know, 2-3 different companies I could choose from where to buy my electricity from. Okay, now these market companies now, they are competing in the wholesale market and they are interacting with the generation companies either in the spot market or writing contracts to basically buy the power. Whereas the line company now is just reduced to simply the delivery function of it, right? And since the line infrastructure is a public good and it doesn't make sense to have multiple companies running lines parallel to one another, the line part of it or the transmission distribution part of it will still need to be regulated. And we can have different kinds of regulation regimes, either the cost based regulation or a price cap regulation regime. Okay, but hopefully, you know, the idea is that as much, you know, power you can give to the consumers, as much choice as you can give them, the more the prices will be driven down. Okay, now, how do the benefits of competition arise in these different models? Okay, so first, let me break down the price, or, you know, what would be the price in this market in different components. Okay, so you've got the generation side, you've got the transmission side, and you've got the distribution side. Okay, now with the single buyer or the wholesale market competition, where you would expect pressure on prices to come down is in the generation side. So the generation marginal cost, as well as the generation company markups, because these companies are now competing with one another to sell power to the discos. If there was competition at the level of generation companies, you would expect the generation prices and the markups to fall down. Okay. With the retailer competition, we would additionally see the DISCO margin, or the, you know, additional price which the distribution part of this business imposes on the consumers to also come down. Okay. And that would now be the market company markup or the retailer markup, you know, and that would basically be determined by the extent of competition in the retail market. So if there are a lot of players, if there are a lot of retailers, they will try to keep the markups low and try to basically get as much market share as possible. So in other words, you know, canonically, you would expect that retail market competition produces the lowest prices, followed by wholesale market and followed by single buyer model. Okay, so this is, you know, what we would expect theoretically. Secondly, we would also expect better planning due to price signals, what I talked about before. With the wholesale market, wherever you have high prices on the grid, that's where you see that, you know, the demand is high and supply is low. You would need to target investments transmission investments as well as generation investments towards those nodes, towards those areas. And you know, that's how you expect that you are basically serving the market in a better, more efficient way. Okay. And finally, if you had retailer competition, you would have, you know, more product variety, better service quality from the perspective of the consumers. Okay. And also I put here dynamic efficiency, which is more of a long-term thing. You know, if we have a well-functioning competitive market, we basically see over time costs of all the players should decline in the generation sector, transmission, as well as distribution sector. So those are the canonical benefits. I'm sure everyone is already aware, but I think it just needs, it puts things into perspective. You know, what are we talking about? And what do we hope to achieve with this model? Now, what would prevent us from realizing the true fruits of competition as we, you know, move towards at some point in the future towards wholesale markets and you know, finally towards retailer competition, if we ever reach that. The first pitfall, I think, and this is quite important because experience from other countries shows that, you know, people can easily underestimate this, but you know, this can be quite a problem, is that when we set up wholesale markets, and in particular the spot market, prices are going to fluctuate, okay? And there is potential for large players in the market to basically take actions to influence the prices to their private benefit. So we have example from California, electricity crisis in 2000, Philippines in 2013. I'm sure we can find more examples if we look further, where producers engaged in cartel-like behavior and they manipulated wholesale prices by holding back supply during periods of high demand, such as summertime, which basically led to large fluctuations in prices in California, as much as 20 times increase in wholesale prices, and as well as shortages, you know, because plants were taken offline and, you know, they basically refused to sell power in the market. Okay. Also, you know, if you had a regulated retail sector and prices were capped, this would basically cause very large losses to the government, because government comes in and bails out the distribution companies who are forced to buy power at such high rates. So that's the experience of monopoly power from these two countries. Then monopoly power could also be exercised by state-owned companies. So in Turkey, you know, we hear stories often of private companies complaining that state-owned companies are undercutting a market price. So, you know, all of these kind of uncompetitive behaviors, we need to be aware of those, and we need to have ways and rules.
Aisha, can you? Aisha, you've got another 5 minutes, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to finish up very soon. In ways in which we can curb non-competitive behavior. The second pitfall of which can prevent us from realizing the true benefits of competition is if we don't pay enough attention to how entry in the generation sector is going to take place, or what are the rules governing entry, or, you know, what kind of regime exists. Because if we can't bring down the cost of the generation mix, we are not going to bring down wholesale market prices, okay? Because, you know, the wholesale market price is going to fall only as much as the marginal cost of the generation companies. So we cannot attract competitive generation. You know, we are not going to experience the fruits of competition in wholesale markets. In other words, we're not going to experience falling wholesale market prices. And this basically requires, you know, us to think not just in short term, you know, towards options like coal, etc., but, you know, longer term, where we are pricing or taking into account the full costs, which a different types of generation mix is going to impose on this sector. Thirdly, the distribution sector, okay, because, you know, we cannot expect that as soon as we transition to wholesale market competition, you know, everything is fine, because we've still got a very troubled distribution sector where distribution companies are incurring large losses. They have very high average cost of delivery due to different reasons, theft, mismanagement, etc. So you cannot expect the prices to fall for consumers unless you bring down the cost of the distribution companies. And if we don't do that, if we stay with the regime where we have controlled retail prices, we will forever be in a culture where we have to do these bailouts. and we have to basically support these distribution companies, and you know, we cannot deliver electricity competitively to consumers. So that has to happen for the true benefits of even the wholesale model to be realized. Okay, and finally, and this is a point, you know, which I think many of us tend to you know, sort of like not connect with the entire market as it is, but this is something which is related to the governance of this sector. You know, we keep on treating electricity as a political commodity. And you know, people now, you know, there's a lot of research, and this is not just for Pakistan, this is true for many other developing nations as well, where electricity is perceived as a right. Okay, so consumers perceive it as a right, and politicians, you know, hand it out for political patronage, you know, not necessarily physically hand it out, but obviously through manipulation of prices, through manipulation of policy regimes, etc., they retain control over this sector. Okay, and until, you know, we think about ways in which we can sort of address this problem, we cannot have competitive electricity markets. So as soon as, you know, you fall into this trap where electricity is perceived as a right and it's handed out as a political commodity, people are not willing to pay for it. And that is the underlying cause of theft or non-repayment in this sector, right? Which makes distribution or provision loss making, which then in turn leads these companies to have unreliable supply, to have poor service, to have bad infrastructure, and gets us stuck in this kind of vicious equilibrium, you know, where we are unable to deliver good quality service at affordable rates. We are unable to achieve the objectives which I stated at the beginning in this sector. So to conclude, my final thought to summarize this roundtable, the first part of my contribution is to basically, you know, highlight or emphasize that, you know, yes, competitive markets hold a lot of promise, but unless we address the underlying structural issues, we cannot reap the benefits of competition.
Thank you, Aisha. Thank you very much. That is a very good presentation. Appreciate it. Let's go to Shahid Sattar. Shahid Sab, you got 15 minutes, but let me just raise one quick question with you before you go on. Making a market, I mean, I don't know energy markets, but I know other markets. Making a market is a very complex task. And markets really require healthy individuals to trade with each other. Unfortunately, do we have healthy individuals in the electricity market that can compete for a price, or are we going to have unhealthy people trade with each other? What we've discovered is that if unhealthy people trade with each other, it's like the COVID infected patients meeting each other. It'll destroy the market. Shahid Sahab, 15 minutes, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to answer your question. And that question is that where even an iota of competition is being introduced, or business to business deals, i.e. healthy individuals interacting with each other on arm's length basis and market setting prices, that's not being permitted by the established bureaucracy in the sector. So, I mean, we have to step back and look at reality. Reality is that the political influence and the capture of this sector is so very strong that any change is going to be resisted. So with that, I'd like to go on to my presentation.
Go ahead.
First of all, I had just focused on wheeling as a case study for studying how our march towards liberalization and markets is progressing. But last night I was told that I should cover the entire sector. So I've just put together something high level. Basically, Maisha has covered the market structures, but let me just give you some high level background on this. Next slide, please. Yeah. The deregulation of electricity from monopoly to competitive structures started in the 80s, and we are all aware of what happened and how ultimately it's led to the CTBCM, which is the structure that the government has come up with as a market structure that they would be comfortable with. Then, next slide, please. I'd like to bring something else to the table, which is that technology advancements all over the world have led to great reduction in prices in all types of things. Yet electricity prices in Pakistan especially, rather than decreasing, have increased, and especially the grid provider electricity. So obviously there is something wrong with the model. However, this fact that the prices have reduced, next slide please, can also be seen that the distributed energy, i.e. the self-generation and the newer technologies, their prices have dropped tremendously and over time. And this is as a result of the technological advances and so forth. So, sticking to the old concepts and the old supply situations and so on is not going to be healthy for Pakistan or even affordable for Pakistan. Next slide, please. Electricity markets in other countries have followed the same path that we have tread so far, but at a much faster pace. They've unbundled generation, transmission, and distribution. They've established an independent regulator, and then they have created markets under very different models. But the basic concept in all of these is to create competition and to create competitive tension, which is what drives the prices down. Because if you do not have the need to look for cheaper sources, you won't do so. Next, please. The electricity markets in other countries have had these goals, which is security of supply, efficiency improvements, appropriate energy prices, and progressive decarbonization, and relief of treasury from any sovereign guarantees and so on, which is the big, big driver in Pakistan's case. Next, please. Basically, the electricity markets are basically competition for the market, which is basically the single buyer, which is the model that we are still pursuing, which is the generation has been outsourced. Again, but this is, we are not gone down fully in this side because we have long-term contracts backed by sovereign guarantees. To pay certain prices. And so there is no competition in the supply side, and there's no competition in the market, which is i.e. that the right of either a bulk consumer or even a retail consumer to buy from different sources. Next, please. The competitive pricing in energy basically is an auction or some sort of competition. And this competition has reduced prices tremendously in other countries. However, given our current set demand supply situation, I can't see any additional supply being brought in through competitive pricing in Pakistan. If you look at Dubai, They started off at 6 cents per kilowatt hour in solar, and the latest that they have is less than 3 cents per kilowatt hour. So, and this is as a result of competition. Similarly, in other countries like Brazil, Argentina, Russia, etc., prices have reduced very significantly. Then, next, please. I won't spend too much time on this because Maisha has already explained the wholesale markets and retails. So if we could just turn the next two slides. Next, please. Yeah. The advantages are markets are allowed to find the lowest cost solution, but provided there is a market. There's reduced government interference and prices affect decisions about the purchase and usage of technology. Then there are certain disadvantages, but those disadvantages are far outweighed by the advantages. Next, please. Now, come down to a very specific case of how change is viewed by the government or by the current bureaucracy or the power sector. Which is that in the Wheeling, the government published an SRO in 2016, which allowed Wheeling, i.e. Third-party access to your transmission and distribution systems, and allowed generators to seek their own customers, bulk power purchasers, who could buy from them and at cheaper rates than obviously than the government or the grid. Next, please. This is basically a first step in any market development, and most countries have allowed wheeling. So, and this is the World Bank, IMF have advised Pakistan to move towards a free market in inverted commas, because it is now the IMF that is used in all the arguments.
Shahid Sahib, I think it might be a good idea if you told the audience what wheeling is, because I certainly don't know what it is.
The wheeling is that a generator sets up a generating unit, and then he finds his own bulk consumers, A, B, C, D, situated all over the country. And then he pays a certain charge on for transmission and distribution, and he is allowed to sell to those companies at his directly contracted prices, which is basically giving a choice to the bulk power purchaser to buy from the grid or from an independent generator. This is a test case as to are we ready, or is the government going to allow any move towards market? Next case, please. The given that SRO, there are two particular cases that happened as a result, which applied for the wheeling license and which applied for selling this electricity. One was with Fatma Fertilizer, and the other was Pehor, which is a hydel project in the north, and they the provincial government is selling electricity directly to its industrial consumers from that station. Pehor has, because it's a provincial government and it is based, they have been allowed and they are now selling the electricity at roughly 9 rupees per kilowatt hour to industrial units situated in some of their industrial areas. However, Fatma Group has not been so far allowed to operate this thing. And CPPA and the DISCOs challenged the wheeling regulations and said that these are issues with the wheeling charges, And without addressing these, they will not allow the use of their system for selling electricity to bulk power purchasers. And these, next page, please. These fixed charges and cross subsidies that they were talking about are more than 11 rupees per kilowatt hour for a B3 consumer. This is last year tariffs, and they'll be higher now. And given that if you add these charges onto the wheeling cost and the generating cost of the current of the new generators, it just cannot compete with the grid. And given that these charges are now a reality in a sense that the government has incurred, and they are standard costs. And so someone somewhere has to take a decision on how to address them. But surely burdening your industrial sector or your wheeling.
So what are the CSS and variables? Can you quickly explain these, please?
Cross subsidy. Which is what is charged to the B3 consumers, but which is not directly a cost.
Okay.
So this is the cross subsidy that's taken out of their tariff and given to the residential consumers or whatever. And then the fixed charges are the capacity purchase price and the use of system charges and so on. The variable charges only form a small part of the whole tariff. Mm. Next page, please. The Ministry of Energy is not allowing nationwide wheeling of power to BPCs, for which the legal regime has been in place since 2016. And this has also been further reinforced by NEPRA. And they've separated the network business from the supply business. The separation of the network and the supply side allows for competition at the distribution level. However, even at the wholesale level, you're not having competition. So I don't know how this is going to proceed further. You are not going to take the first step towards liberalization of the market. How can you take anything beyond that? So what we are discussing at the moment is purely academic, in my view, as because NEPRA decided that the challenge that the CPPA and the government had on the wheeling charges was not correct. So they decided in favor of the wheeling regulations. So what the Ministry of Power has done is that it has moved an amendment to the NEPRA Act. This amendment says that you have to pay the fixed charges as well as the cross subsidy charges, and that you cannot leave the system for 3 years. Okay. And if you without giving notice. So, and if you leave the system, you still have to keep paying those charges. That's one part of it. Then this federal government has also taken upon itself to charge any consumer additional charges to cover for these charges or any other charges that they deem fit. So basically, the NEPRA Act amendment, in my view, negates any role of the regulator. Next slide, please. Previous to that. One more. Bilateral contracts is the first step. And for this, this is just an explanation of what I've already stated. So we move on. And if we go to the next slide, we see that the NEPRA Act already states that tariffs should allow licensees the recovery of any and all costs prudently incurred. Surely, if you look at the last slide, only the prudently incurred elements of any entity's cost should be passed on to other entities or consumers, specifically inefficiencies arising from poor performance or the government's own priorities should not be considered when determining prudently incurred costs. Next, please. This is again implications of imposing additional wheeling costs, which is that basically you would be the entire market as such would be stillborn. We can't move towards a market if you're not allowing even the first step to be taken. Next slide, please.
That's up 3 minutes.
Yeah, just finishing. One of the key challenges to the economy is that the balance of payment situation of Pakistan has always been very tight, and the current account deficit is being financed by external borrowings. This cannot continue indefinitely and has to be at some point met through increased exports. And increasing exports means that you have to have competitively priced products to sell. And in order to have competitively priced products, you really need one of the key inputs, which is energy, to be priced competitively. Energy to be priced competitively can only happen if some choice is available to the bulk consumers or exporters to buy from any sources that they find are cheaper. And by denying them these choices or the freedom of buying from third parties, effectively the government is also killing any move towards a more sustainable balance of payments. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Shahid Saab. Thank you. Amir Durrani Saab. Now, see, I called you Saab. So, Amir Durrani Saab, can you please take 15 minutes to tell us, since you are from the World Bank, partly the World Bank is responsible for this. How do we create this market for the future? How do we move into 2020 from 1995? You have 15 minutes.
Okay, I shall try and stick to time. I'm going to try and share my screen very quickly. So kindly let me know when you see my screen. Can you see my screen?
We can see it. Go ahead.
Okay, super. So let me just go there. Okay. Okay, just the last check. So it's visible, right? To everybody?
Visible.
Thank you. Okay, Nadeem Saab, so if you allow me, let me start by saying that, you know, when I was asked to do this day before yesterday, I actually wanted to spend more time preparing for this, because what I think the things you had asked for us to do are basically look at what are the necessary reforms. And I think everything is in the context of modern electricity market. So I'm not, you know, I really did not want to talk about what's happened. I wanted to talk about what if something else could happen. And you asked a question about, does this new market, will regulatory systems be required? You asked about pricing, how that will be set. And you also asked about government guarantees. Now, let me first say that, you know, I have to qualify my presentation today by actually saying that I live by the mantra that to live again, one must first die. Now, I'm quoting a person who is not quotable, but this is Salman Rushdie out of Satanic Verses. But I think it's a very touching quote, the only thing good about the book. So let me also say that there are, with the existing system, I think we already know that this existing system cannot be abandoned, but also needs to be modernized. So something has to be done. And I think on that, we already had a discussion last time. I think again, both Aisha and Shahid have also given ideas about what needs to be done. I think some of which is being done by the government, but some of it is not being done by the government. And I think one of the key things, and I think you will see in my presentation, is this whole NEPRA's new rules about fixed charges and cannot leave and paying the wheeling charges. I mean, this is going to kill the future. And part of it is because I think as we move to the models that Aisha talked about and Shai talked about, which is consumer choice through open competition, even for base load, one of the key things you need to realize is base load globally in all the countries where things work fine is basically managed between the generators and the industry. Let me give you some quick statistics. Germany has on paper 50% of its energy currently generated through renewables. It has 800 individual providers, 800, okay? Of which 40% are essentially what are labeled as community providers. But despite that, only four companies synthetically hold 73% of the power. Four transmission system operators work on an area-based concession. The residential prices are the second highest in Europe. The residential tariff, sorry, the industrial tariff is 50% of the residential tariff. Please, that's very important to understand. But it's still 21%.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can you please share your slides?
जी मैं ये अभी तो अपना वो जुबानी बयान कर रहा हूँ ना स्लाइड आपको नजर आ रही है मेरी थिंकिंग फॉरवर्ड आई थिंक एवरीवन कैन सी इट
नहीं नाउ इट्स गॉन इट यूज्ड टू इट वाज देयर
ओके लेट मी स्क्रीन शेयर अगेन सो जस्ट वन सेकंड सो लेट मी स्क्रीन शेयर अगेन एंड लेट मी डू दैट Can everyone see it now?
Yep, it's there.
Okay, so basically, you know, the whole idea coming back, so I was taking Germany as an example of the most rapid sort of evolution in the European markets and something which I think we can follow quite easily. But I think the thing I wanted to leave is on two points, one made by Aisha and one made by Shahid Saab, and obviously it was going to be made by a lot of people that, you know, the industry cannot pay for this price of power. Now, the industrial cost of electricity in Germany, despite it being one of the best markets around in Europe, is 21% above all the EU 28. But at the same time, what is important to remember there is it's 50% of the cost for the residential. The other thing is the fact that despite being totally decentralized, four companies synthetically own 73% of the transmission. That is because of the point that Aisha made about the line infrastructure. So I think on line infrastructure also, like in any place, like in a port, you have the channel, the pipe that you send. I mean, this is now in modern science and it's known as common user infrastructure. So common user infrastructure can also be set out and be outsourced to produce common user infrastructure markets, which can either be area-based, meaning that let's say, you know, the F71 or DHA is an area. So you can do area-based concessions, or you can do what are called line-based concessions or route-based concessions. And you can do this for busing, you can do this for electricity the same way. So I think that having said all that, I think industries need, I mean, what we need now is industries to step up and have a direct conversation with the GenCos in Pakistan, along with, you know, sort of how to wheel power better. But I think my presentation today on markets is going to be slightly different from the previous two, and it's going to be about the fact that it's not about surplus, rather about where the surplus is. So we're going to talk about this both from a rural and urban point of view, because I really do believe that no single broad brush approach will work for Pakistan. And I think a part of it has to do with connecting, you know, really the grid as we know it, the way we think about it, the way we keep planning, the way we talk is really an archaic instrument. And yes, it is needed. A modernized version of it is needed to contain especially dense urban areas because it still is the best way to provide electricity there. But let me look at what else. So this is a South Africa, you know, as I mentioned in my last thing, that South Africa is having three times the problems we are. And basically the study there tells us that if everything works well, it'll take 9 years to connect to the grid. A household will cost about $1,500 to connect. $15 billion if this investment is done in one go, a quarter century of more, and if not tripled cost, if everything was to be done. So the numbers similarly for Pakistan are disastrous. And they are disastrous because of the general knowledge now that barring the dense industrial clusters, barring dense urban high-rise cities, which Pakistan lacks to a great degree. The grid domain is really not the best provider for affordable electricity. And since I have less time, but this is not me, this is, you know, the world has recognized this. And, you know, even in the 2011 IEA report, this was recognized in Bloomberg also in the same year estimated these distributed markets to be worth $64 billion on their own. And these distributed markets, I want to spend 1 minute on this because it's not how we think. It's got many, many, many moving parts. So it's not just that you do suddenly cut off from the rest of the world and you start generating where you want, what you want, when you want, and then you'll survive. No, that's not how it is, because there's a role for storage to be played. Storage can have multiple types of storage. You can have water-based storage. You can have real battery storage, with Delhi, by the way, even is experimenting with right now. So basically, the thing is that when we talk distributed generation, it's about increasing the efficiency of supply, but also the efficacy of generation and supply. Why this is important for Pakistan? So, I'm going to give you some studies that we've conducted in the last 3 years very quickly. But out of the 1 billion missing energy globally, 135 of them are in Asia, of which about 80 million roughly are in Pakistan. The figures from various 55 to 70 million Pakistanis not connected, 75 million Pakistanis are on the urban and rural grid, face more than 12 hours. So really the underserved is about 150 million Pakistanis. So I find, therefore, for the reasons other than what Shahid stated, this whole debate that we have about, poor Pakistan, we don't have electricity, is really not targeted properly, because really the time is to explore newer markets and let these markets do things, and which could also be actually extreme. We could go to an extreme tariff, which would
Amir, then mean, can you please also tell us what the term underserved means? Again, I don't understand this term.
Am I underserved? Well, let me explain underserved. Yes, you could be underserved if you are experiencing any load shedding, because you're supposed to get 24/7 supply, right? But underserved, we primarily define as those people that have more than half, which means 12 hours or more of absence of electricity from the grid. So unserved means there is no grid, there is no distribution to your house, anything. So that's unserved. Underserved is the unserved plus those with more than 12 hours. So let me show you some results from Las Bela. So this is from a survey we did for IFC. This is about NK Electric, essentially they commissioned it. Average electricity provision Las Bela towns is 8 hours. So we are talking about Bela, Hub, Uthal, and Winder. And please remember that Hub is actually quite the industrial center for, and the entire states of Karachi actually are based there for their industry. So this is definitely what we call being underserved. What is really surprising, and I'm going to skip very fast because I think we need to get to questions and answers, but dissatisfaction is not just on the cost. Dissatisfaction is equal between quality and cost. Now, this is, I'm talking of a survey in Las Bela, so we can assume that, this represents, if not anything, the extremer sentiments. Even then, its quality and cost are both a source of dissatisfaction for consumers. And people are willing to pay for quality electricity. This is what, even in Las Bela, which I hope everyone can position geographically. Las Bela is right next to Sindh, and it's also K Electric's domain. It's the district, but it's actually in Balochistan. And really now, if you look at this, this is essentially, of all the industries in Bela, Habutal, and Winder, on the average, 70% are interested in an alternate source of electricity. This is, and again, industry in Las Bela, which is kind of the hub of it all, is already saying that were we be allowed to be allowed, we would like to move to an independent source of electricity, and we will guarantee 100% offtake. This is coming from Las Bela Chamber of Commerce and Industry through some FGDs that were conducted. So essentially, and I'll be very, very conservative in this. This is a market sizing that was done by us three years ago. We're looking at about an 11,200 megawatt market, or in other words, a 33,000 gigawatt hours of national demand that is unmet. Now, this is unmet at current consumption. If you turn this into the global consumption, if these people were to increase their consumption, we're looking at 130,000 gigawatt hours. This essentially translates to a market size of anywhere from 3.4 billion per year, as in 2017. That could actually go up to $9 billion a year. So when we look at it, the problem with this is that when we start talking about this these markets, people say, well, hey, these markets are mostly rural. These people don't have money to pay. But, let me just say this. The 10,400 megawatt CPEC plan does nothing for this market. Nothing. Then we look at, you know, this whole normal, what people are criticizing. I mean, every policymaker that I've met, from Sindh Energy to PEDO to everybody, says, well, Amir, you know, the reason we aren't taking grid there, we aren't supplying them electricity, even if the grid is there and they have meters, as in the case of Tata, they say, well, you know, they don't have the money to pay, so why, you know, we just can't supply. Now, this is really kind of baffling, because poor in Pakistan, and, you know, energy use, when we do service, we break it down by usage. So is it for cooling, heating, lighting? What the hell are they using it for? And I'll mention a little bit more on the point source, single point source that Vakas mentioned in the last. So Pakistani poor, and this is a 2012 study, are spending 2.3 billion years on kerosene and candles alone. Now, you know, that's just the, we can say, yeah, some of the kerosene could be for cooking, but, you know, so the market is able to pay if provision is done. That's the point. Another study we completed in 2016. This is for looking at the levelized cost of electricity across Pakistan. You really see that, you know, distributed generation has a competitive LCOE. And in fact, if allowed to develop as the world wants it and is trying to do it, we probably could install and deliver electricity much faster than waiting for some of the larger projects that we have in Pakistan, including transmission projects that have gone on and not yet delivered, like Mutiyari 1 and Mutiyari 2. So looking at, you know, distributed, I just want to summarize for the audience some quick lessons, because we did yet another study in 2019, paid for by, unbelievably, the Pakistan Poverty Fund and by the Rural Support Network, because they were having problems scaling up their models of independent distributed generation. So key takeaways from, you know, the world global markets on distributed generation is that here are six things. One, you try flat subscription fees. You can do pay as you go. You can even run rent to own models. There are things to watch out, which is decentralization, how you handle it.
Three minutes.
And you're looking at, you know, basically government's role has to be minimized. And, you know, let's go now to the Pakistani. This is kind of a summary of the Pakistan here. Again, we have to be very careful that we are doing nothing to really cater to this new available energy market. The thing on which the government has just taken 150 million from one of the development partners is actually for something which is the most expensive solution for poor. And as you can see, our numbers show that with just a 10% markup, solar financing home systems, which are being given to the poor for LED pedestals, are actually costing the poor 48 rupees per unit. So I'm going to skip essentially, but no. Let's look at what will create these new markets. And I think one of the things is basically, you know, the government really agreeing and understanding that no one NEPRA rule, no one way of doing business will work for everybody. And I'm going to go to show you how. So we did basically a plotting between existing models. And here where you see grid, it means really the centralized grid models. And where you don't see the grid, so essentially what this showed us, that for these unserved markets, and especially even for some of the urban markets, and let me show you that on the slide, that we did some work with K Electric in Liari near superhighways and also in the Ghats, where actually distributed generation starts making sense even for somebody like K Electric. And so therefore this, what you see on the right top hand corner of this BCG, is essentially what we are talking about in terms of what are the best provision models. And they are mostly, as you can see, some variant of distributed generation. So what do we do? And let me quickly, no single brush approach. I think that the distributed generation, dense village clusters, we need to start thinking about them. There is some space for home solutions, and we need to give them central importance because this also will kickstart the whole process of internal production of some of these products, because while a centralized grid electricity, most of the products we use there are mostly imported, a lot of what we need in DG can actually become an industry in Pakistan at scale. The other important thing is the sustainable electrification and economic development have high correlation. So we're basically looking at efficient capacity utilization. But the good news here is that if you look at the Aga Khan's review, AKRSP review of Northern Pakistan, you find that of all new electricity created, almost 70% of it goes for commercial usage. So it's quite the opposite of what the way current electricity suppliers are using electricity. Let me take you back. Yeah, so policy interventions. I think there is now a need to really start talking about an off-grid or a distributed electrification policy based on learnings of some of these studies. And I think we need all these entities who are kind of running around like, they have been 30 years doing this sort of microgrid. This, I think they need to be aggregated under some chapeau to start understanding at least a technical exchange of ideas for more efficiency. And I think that eventually, I think this is kind of the, just to give you an idea, we need to start talking about this. And this market, the distributed market, then automatically by nature is it will basically be based on renewables because of the sheer nature of how they come around. And I think I will stop here.
Thank you.
I think that's it. I mean, I was going to talk about mini-grid pooling, but I think those market and that discussion, I wanted to really discuss later on if somebody's interested in how to set up these new markets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amir Saab. Thank you very much. Thank you, folks. Look, the key takeaway that I get, and I'll turn to the table now. So anybody from the table, please raise your hand. The key takeaway that I get is that it's a very, very complex issue. Like everything else, it's a very complex issue. And I'm afraid that people who say we know it all the solutions that they just implement them, I'm afraid they're the stupidest people in the world, because quite frankly, there is very little that we know. As far as I can see, I've seen Aisha Ali describing very complex market structures that will not be created overnight, that will take a long, long time to create, and very deft handling, very serious professionals to manage the market. Making a market is extremely, extremely difficult. It's not easy. And she's talked about the choices there. As far as Shastar goes, we can't even do wheeling yet. We haven't even got around to configuring who the agents or the players are in the market. So how will we do that? Then comes the distributed grid, which even gets more complex. So there are huge complex issues. I don't know who's thinking about it. So the people who say that we know all the solutions and there's no need for research really need to rethink their strategy. One of the reasons we are failing is because we have no research. So who does energy research in this country? QG, anybody from the round table? Anybody wants to talk? Chima Saab, Armina, BB, anybody? First, I want to go to the round table. Akhtar Ali Saab, anybody wants to talk? Who is doing energy research in the country? Does anybody do any energy research in the country? Can you guys tell me that?
Chima Saab has his hand up. I think we should.
Chima Saab, bole Chima Saab.
Well, thank you very much after the stupendous presentations. Hmm. Let me contain myself to the subject give an overview of what is happening in the discourse. Sure. Presently, in the power sector, minus K Electric has become a nearly 2 trillion industry. The total revenues, which are calculated for all the discos in Pakistan, all the 10, is nearly 2 trillion rupees. And we'll just discuss what exactly in this kitty of 2 trillion belongs to the discos. Basically, they get the return on investment, if at all they have made some investment. They get the depreciation on the assets. And lastly, they get the distribution margin. And maybe if they're efficient enough, they may make some profit. Now, this amount, all these four heads, just equal anything between 11 to 14% of the total value of the sector, 2 trillion. That means what? The maximum like is 300 billion rupees out of the 2 trillion, but they actually are running the system now. They're the ones who make NAPRA stop things. They're the ones who ensure that the power divine actually supports them and does not allow any change in the system. One. Secondly, now on the other hand, it is very important to understand what are the basic ingredients for a power market. Basically, it's presence of a huge number of sellers and even more number of buyers. in Pakistan, we actually do not have many buyers. The example of Fatma Group was just given by Shahid Sitar. They tried their best. They could not really find buyers other than those who were already part of that group. It's a very difficult proposition. And then there are no sellers. In Pakistan, the best seller that could come in the market has been the Fatma Group's 90 megawatt power plant at Kotadu. And we have another three sellers, basically, who were part of the erstwhile rental power program. And then there is industry which wishes to sell anything between 1 to 10 megawatts, nothing more than that. Then we need that there should be a minimal concentration of generation complexes in Pakistan. Pakistan has been trying its best to create bigger complexes. Now, if we talk about coal, the best is 1,362 megawatts. Similarly, our LNG plants have been plus 1,250 megawatts. And the earlier behemoths or complexes in Gudu, Jamshoro, Muzaffargarh, government-owned, of course, they are plus 1,000, nothing short of that. So that is another issue. So the existing generation facilities have somehow to be broken down into small entities, otherwise the things will not move. But the fourth thing, gentlemen and ladies, is that the power sector has to be financially viable first. If it is making losses, if people are not paying, or if people are stealing, and the total revenue, if it is thought to be 2 trillion and you just collect, say, 1.7, there's a shortfall of 300 billion. This will not allow any market to move forward. So what happens is we have to assure that the DISCOs restrict themselves to their max 300 billion, not worry about the rest. One, collect everything of it, the whole 2 trillion, I'm sure. And then they must understand that they can earn even more if they enter really into the wire business. Because for that, they are going to maintain their wires, assure that there are no interruptions, and assure that the B2B or, seller and buyers work together and move forward. So the first of the steps which need to be taken, which was also emphasized by my friend Shahid Sitar, is wheeling. Wheeling is the first step. It is the first scope, the spoke in the wheel, which will make a turn. Otherwise, nothing is going to move forward. So there is a requirement for NEPRA to understand that the DISCOs and the NTDC and the generators have to restrict themselves to their own part of the revenue. They have to assure that they collect everything and then not worry as to who wishes to buy from the DISCOs or from some other generator. And once it becomes financially viable, once we create more generators than what we have at present. And there's another thing I would like to say, that NEPRA only allows generators who arrange for new equipment, because they have to then enter into 30-year or 25-year long PPAs. For that, I understand it is very important. But, when wildcat or independent generators arrive, small plants, 25 megawatts, 50 megawatts, 100 megawatts, then this condition of new equipment must also go. Once that goes, the generation cost is going to come down to maybe 60% of what we have at present. And it is the economics which will allow the market to move first. But the first thing which we need to assure, of course, is that wheeling takes place. And for it, the power divine has to understand, the government of Pakistan has to understand this thing. NEPRA has to change its spots. The DISCOs have to be made to understand that they should not worry about revenues which are not theirs. They must restrict themselves to the distribution margin, the return on investment, the depreciation, and if they work very well, of course, they can get some profits. And then allow everybody to work. But wheeling will only work if we have balancing, which is, of course, there in the works. At the same time, there is another concept of banking. That too is needed. Otherwise, wheeling will also fail. So these are the things which need to be kept
in mind. What does banking mean, Jim? What does banking mean?
What happens is that balancing is that if the generator sends like 100 megawatts and it does not reach, and only 97 reach, then that 3 megawatt is filled in by the system operator so that 100 megawatts reach over there. In banking, what happens is each plant is going to shut down anything between 30 to maybe 50 days each year for makeover or overhauls. So during that time, the bank will operate, meaning thereby that the generator had the capacity of 120 megawatts. The generator was selling 100 megawatts each day and was banking 20 megawatts with the system operator. And during those times when it is on the makeover or overhaul, his customer is going to get supply out of that bank. These are very important things, both balancing and banking. Thank you very much.
More complexity introduced. Banking and balancing. So it requires a really clever operator to operate the market. So we really need to know somebody. Rashid Saab, do you want to say anything?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to make a few remarks. One of, to start with, Aisha's presentation, Shahid's presentation, Amir's presentation, Jima Saab's comments. Very relevant, very knowledgeable, very appreciated. Defining both what should be done or needs to be done, the quote-unquote expectations, and to a certain extent, the actuals. But I do want to point out, we are missing one very important part of it. The entity responsible for developing the market and whose efforts we should appreciate is somehow not interested in participating. So I understand PIDE had invited CPPAGE. They have maybe made an irrelevant excuse or maybe made a very relevant excuse and not attended or not joined. The difference between this entire group, therefore, is not understanding how much of the what should be done, which were the earlier three presentations, and what is being done, which should be demonstrated to us by CPPAG, how much of that balance is emerging. We unfortunately have the what should be side. We don't have enough of the what is side. I would like to say they are doing tremendous amounts of work. They are following, after a lot of research on South American markets, European markets, Southeast Asian, the Turkey experience, etc., they have selected a particular model. Partly this might be answering your question, who's researching? So CPPA has done tremendous amounts of research on the question of how to establish a market and which market model would be most appropriate for Pakistan. So Nadeem, that's just on one aspect. Yes, they have done a lot of research. They have agreed to and selected one particular model. They've gone to the regulator, gotten the in-principle approval. They're doing the detailed nitty-gritties, etc., etc. So there is a bit of work ongoing, plenty needed to be done, etc. But a market could emerge. But the second point, which I want to, in a way, blame CPPA for, is Shahid's point, the fact that their model is competitive trading bilateral contracts model, CTBCM. Bilateral contracts is a part of the name, not just a key objective, meaning a purchaser like a large industry, a large hotel building, a large commercial complex, wanting to purchase from a generator and pay the intermediary charges, the wheeling charges. The name includes it, but they're doing all they can to prevent it. Unfortunately, this is a case of stating an intent and then temporarily doing something exactly the opposite. So the model is a good idea, is actually working, etc. It's initial, let's say, the very first starting point. Bilateral contracts at least allow the few large consumers and large generators to be able to enter into contracts with each other and make it feasible and viable. The second part is not being done. Lots of charges are being thrown on it, etc., etc., partly driven by the Ministry of Energy and the Ministry of Finance, not wanting to cater to a burden of the power sector. They are imposing those charges on the existing consumer base, largely on bulk consumers, and that's making bilateral contracts unfeasible or uneconomical. That's one of the hurdles in its favor, in its implementation. But the second one, which I would equally want to say, there is a gap between the regulator and the company. The regulator should be saying, develop a bidding process for long-term contracts or long-term new generation, for example, the competition for the market. Develop a bidding process and we will scrutinize one of it. Or don't develop it, we'll do it 2 years from now. Whatever it is, a bidding process. Announce a bidding process. The regulator should say, announce a bidding process, etc., etc. All those things are prerequisites to introducing competition for the market. New generators can come in on a bid and competitively determined price. But unless a bidding process is announced, whether it's for 1 year or one go or 1,000 megawatts or 2,000 megawatts, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, whenever it is, unless a process is launched, 0% of contracts will be on competitively bid prices. Similarly, when NEPRA said to CPPA, develop the model, they also should be very clear, will we approve the results of a bidding round? Will we evaluate or will we set a set of rules and anything according to that automatically carries NEPRA's approval. So the tariff determined by a bidding round carried out by CPPA, say 2 years from now, etc., would that have to go through the 6 month rigmarole of a NEPRA tariff petition and a hearing, etc., or it would stand automatically? Those types of two or three procedural questions are lacking.
Good point.
And if they're not addressed, we will have a problem of we'll only have negotiated contracts. We'll have contracts with government guaranteed sales and prices, and we will have this inability to bring in some competition. I'm not a fan of saying the IPP contracts with long-term commitments, et cetera, should be renegotiated. That'll get us into the Carke incident, the Rekodik incident, where international courts have determined Pakistan violated the contract.
That's a separate issue. Leave that aside. That's a separate
issue. So I would, just two
we'll
sentences.
We'll take that up later.
I'm just coming to this point. Incremental power, when it comes on bid prices as opposed to negotiated prices, will gradually whittle away, over 15, 20, 30 years, whittle away these long-term contracts, trying to undo or say we can't do anything because we have so many contracts, doesn't get us anywhere.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Dikiji, I have not worked in energy markets, but I have set up government bond markets. I have worked in the stock market. We set up government bond markets from scratch. And one of the things that you do when you set up a government bond market is that you ensure who's sitting at the table. And people who sit at the table must be healthy. You can't have unhealthy people sitting in a market with healthy people. This is the problem of the American health insurance industry, that they had to have individual mandates. They had to have every healthy person in the market. Otherwise, healthy people leave and leave the unhealthy people in the market. So first of all, we have to have healthy agents. Unfortunately, in the market, there are no healthy agents. When there are no healthy agents, people are bleeding. Obviously, the good people can't be allowed to leave. This is the problem with the Shahid Sattar problem, Wheeling problem, that we, NEPRA obviously can't let the healthy people leave. If the healthy people leave, then the unhealthy market goes further into the red. So there is a problem. Second thing that you need is, you need a clearly defined contract, you, so that somebody, for example, in the government bond market, you can buy only 1 billion rupees of bonds. You can't buy less than that. You can't buy one bond, two bond, three bonds. So you have to have a definition of a contract, whatever the contract is, 100 megawatts, 5 megawatts, whatever, but you have to have a definition. Third thing you have to have is settlement, which is where the banking and balancing comes in. The fourth thing is that you have to have clearing. Somebody has to pay the money and somebody has to receive it. Otherwise, the health of the market goes down. We've seen this again and again in the country. The fourth thing that you have to do is you have to have the SECP, which is regulating, and you have the stock market, which is purely operating outside the SECP. SECP is not regulating and creating the market. Unfortunately, I don't see that here at all. So if we don't have that, how can we have a market? Unfortunately, what you've told me about the CPA, CB, CPBCM sounds very nice, but there is no clarity on the contract, on the rules of exchange, on who's sitting at the table. We used to take great care in defining who sat at the table. Everybody couldn't sit at the table. They had to post a certain bond. They had to have a certain financial health. Central bank would audit them, and then they could sit at the table. They couldn't sit at the table with losses on their books. They couldn't sit at the table with healthy balance sheets. Anyway, I want to bring in somebody else. Armina Bibi, would you like to say anything?
I'm glad that you mentioned dynamics of the bond market, because there are parallels that we can draw with the electricity market as well. And since CPBAG is not here today, I think I'll play the devil's advocate and represent them a little bit here. I would just like to point out that the CPBAG over the past 2 or 3 years has put in extensive amounts of work into the processes you just described. And so they have outlines of contracts, they have rules pertaining to who can participate, how they can participate, etc. So the nuts and bolts of the system, at least a draft, has already been put in place. And right now they're working on refining the model with feedback from NEPRA and others. So the issue is not so much that there's no architect for the overall plan. There is, in fact, somebody who's leading the charge in that regard. But the problems that are going to arise will be more so out of the transition or the transformation of the existing entities into their new roles. So for instance, we don't have an independent system operator right now. That's a role that NTDC plays together with its transmission network operator role. So there'll be a separation there. Then the DISCOs will no longer be retailing electricity. Their role is going to be limited to the line owners, and we're going to have a new segment in the market, the retailers. And I'd also like to point out here that the NEPRA Act, the amended NEPRA Act, actually mandates a retail market in Pakistan by 2023. So whether we're ready or not, or like it or not, there will be a market in Pakistan and a wholesale market by the year 2023, according to the amended NEPRA Act. But the point is, these issues arise anywhere where there is a transition from an older system to a newer system. A country like ours with limited resources, or an advanced country with advanced markets and, you know, a better economy than ours. So that's something that we already know, and so we can prepare for in advance. And CPPAG, to some extent, is already doing that. The problems that are arising, particularly Shahid Saab mentioned wheeling. Wheeling was supposed to be a transitory phase between our current single buyer plus model and the wholesale market. We were supposed to have this intermediate bilateral trading system in place. Now, the reason why CPPAG is objecting to wheeling is because they are right now acting as a proxy for the Ministry of Energy. CPPAG itself, in its own role as market operator, should have no issues with bilateral. It's in their name. It's a part of their name. The problem is that they're representing the Ministry of Energy. What is the Ministry of Energy's issue with wheeling? The capacity payments. Wheeling has the potential to exacerbate the capacity payment problem that we're facing and the circular debt issue, which is why it's become so contentious and there are so many entities opposing it at the moment. So what I'm trying to say is that everything is interconnected. The markets are connected to the way we're running our system currently. The markets are connected. The future of our electricity market is connected to our circular debt issue. We are essentially stalling the market transformation because we haven't found a solution to what we discussed in our first webinar, a circular debt issue. So the minute the government either takes on creation of the capacity payments and takes it out of the equation, or comes up with some other formula to address it, this whole problem will go away and we'll have a wheeling market in Pakistan tomorrow. I would also like to point out, someone mentioned, I'm not sure who it was, that there are no takers or buyers for wheeling power, or, and even sellers for wheeling power. You'll be surprised to hear that there is almost a gigawatt of planned wheeling power projects, solar power projects, that are ready to get off the ground the day schools start signing wheeling contracts. So there is huge pent-up demand and supply, at least in solar, wheeled solar power, that segment of the but the issue is that the powers that be are opposing it, and in their minds, for good reason. I mean, what do we do? This, the circular debt issue could become an even bigger monster if, you know, several gigawatts of power is suddenly wheeled across Pakistan's network. So these things have to be sorted out. All the issues lead into the market model that we're trying to implement in Pakistan, all the issues that you've discussed up to this day. And so unless that backlog of issues is dealt with, moving to the next phase of our power story is going to be difficult. Or more difficult than it needs to be. It's going to be difficult, period, but it'll be more difficult than it needs to be.
Good point. Very good point. You can't have unhealthy players in a market. Unfortunately, that's a problem. And if you've got a market that's totally unhealthy, there is going to be an issue. Akhtar Saab, would you like to say something?
Yes, sir. Sir, there is something called the big market, the market that exists in the advanced countries, about which you are talking about. But there is a very elemental form of competition which is allowed by our existing policies, frameworks, and we do not practice them. We are scared of competition. There was a Jamshoro coal power plant which showed the dirty linen, which showed that the other projects that have been implemented were implemented at a cost which was 40% higher. The current power policy provides for something what you call solicited projects in their technical, which simply means that you invite, whatever be the project, you invite competition for that, for its capex. What complications are there? I don't really understand. 50,000 megawatt of power has been committed and no competition has been held till now. So if we want competition, can be started at least at the capex level of the power plants. Every buyer, whether he is of electricity or any other commodity, wants to find out from potential sellers what would be the price. So, you know, there has been a scare among the policymakers and stakeholders regarding competition. So one thing is certain, but of course 50,000 megawatt has been committed. For the IGCEP, there's 75,000 megawatt. So only 25,000 megawatt slot might be available for competitive bidding, if at all that capacity is bidded for, because the demand is going slow, it is possible that the market may be limited till 50,000 megawatt. Secondly, you cannot have a burgeoning market in the beginning. You can bring in a lot of players in it through special measures, like one which Armina talked about, the solar power can be brought into the market. market, you can allow, you see, the biggest issue is the power purchase agreements. They are tight. There are no free actors available. Whatever capacity is there, it is committed in the form of a power purchase agreement. So what you can do is, after some studies, of course, that you allow a certain portion of the committed capacity to be floated in the market. So that is another way you can deepen. Captive power is already available. You can have what you call voluntary market exchange, as it is there in India. You start learning the initial steps through a voluntary market. In India, about 2% of electricity is being traded in that market. It is playing a role. It is telling them, teaching them how market operates. It does indicate what is the going rate of marginal costs. So third is, there are problems in the model that has been prepared by CPPAG. There are two basic models in the markets. One is the cost-based model and the other is bid-based model. They have taken cost-based model, which to my mind would not create a lot of competition. Cost-based model is something that we already have. We already have this variable costs and what you call, I'm not remembering the exact technical name. So we have, in a way, in cost-based models, what is done is that the system operator determines the price. In our case, NEPRA is available, which determines the price. So what the heck? If CTBM is implemented, NEPRA would be providing the costs. So it is an issue whether you have a cost-based model or a bid-based model. This bid-based model are, for example, in Europe, where there is an open market exchange, there is a seller who comes with his prices, and this is through a algorithm, they compute a marginal cost, marginal price, and then the buyers who place their bids. And the bids and the bids of the supplier and bids of the buyers are matched, and a cutting price is obtained. So that is one issue that has to be resolved in the CTBCM, which has been proposed. Secondly, they are actually pursuing a beaten path. This bilateral trading of DISCO, that is coming from a long time, older times. We have an established system of uniform pricing. That system of uniform pricing, our economy is based on uniform pricing. I'm afraid that this CTBCM would create regional markets based on DISCOs where there would be different prices. So that is another. And secondly, DISCOs are very weak institutions these days. CPPAG is much more organized, much more stronger, professionally, economically, etc., etc. And it has a large canvas. It can work out average costs, etc. While DISCOs are in a transition stage, they have to be privatized, etc., etc. So why to transfer the business of managing the market from a viable institution, relatively stronger institution, to the institutions which are in a transition state, which are weak, which are doing losses, etc.
Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
No, go ahead. If you have something else to say, go ahead.
Similarly, wheeling has been misunderstood in Pakistan. Wheeling has been, it has about 8 components. And one has to determine those 8 components. And unless you bring a framework for bringing those 8 components of wheeling, you cannot possibly implement a proper. What happens is that an individual seller wants to applies for a wheeling proposal, and his case is examined in a period of 6 months, and then a tariff is determined. What we need is a kind of readily implementable framework whereby wheeling rates are decided in a week. And if you have those 8 components that I have spoken about, it would not be really impossible to issue wheeling rates in a shorter period of time. Okay. There are many other issues, but I think...
Both issues hain har cheez pe, but let's go to the floor. Let's see, Gul Hasan Bhutto sahab, do you have what do you have to say on this?
Ji sir, thank you very much. I think the experts have explained a lot, and few of them are my mentor. I'll touch upon the few things jab hum jo ke maybe missing or lazmi experts might be knowing it, but to complete the discussion. When we speak about इलेक्ट्रिसिटी मार्केट, तो ब्रॉडली हम दो कैटेगरीज की बात करते हैं. सेंट्रली इकोनॉमिक डिस्पैच मार्केट मॉडल्स, दैट इज मोस्टली इनटू द यूएसए, एंड देन वी आर सेकंड वन इज द सेल्फ डिस्पैच मार्केट्स, सेल्फ मार्केट मॉडल दैट इज द यूरोप. पहले वाले में ये जो सीटीबीसीए में
stay in English because there are some people who don't know.
I mean the model, I'm surprised to say it, what we are telling it, the competitive trading and bilateral market, basically not, there is a name, but there's a no any kind of a competition into it. Like Akhtar Saab said, we have already the generation 36 gigawatt installed and 15 gigawatt committed. Once the consumer price, the consumer tariff to the tariff, the 60 to 70% cost is from the generation. And into the existing model, there is a no wholesale electricity market created. Then if 65% of the cost is fixed, then the question readily comes into the mind, a model having no competition. If I feel this model is being to be COD by the November 2021, by 2025 or 2023, should I ask myself what was the purpose? Purpose was to create an efficiency and then competition and do away with the certain relief to the consumer. Would it listen? The current tariff is the 18 rupees per kilowatt hour. Would it be 16, 15, or would it be 22? I would say it would be 20, or it would rising the it will rise the tariff because the cost centers are being to be created. The current CPPAG would be split into the three more other organizations: the MO, market operator, then you have the SPT, the special purpose trader, that would be settling. Like Dr. Saab said, from today the companies are not willing to even not believing on the implementation agreement for with the CPPAG, which is a piece of paper, not a real instrument for the encashment. In that model, all these generations are said to be commercially allocated to the discos then. And second part in the bilateral contracting, they are said to be to procure their future generation directly. On contrary side, we are believing into the central planning, and we are talking about the to how that would be creating an efficiency. So it is rising the cost. On the back part, on the bilateral market, when you speak about the bilateral market, the model that is being to be implemented is called single buyer plus regime. Are we saying what we are being going to create? What is the new? Nothing is new, because since 2015, the wheeling was there, means bilateral arrangement was there. Why the willing is not taking offtake, and then there's no any project thanks to Imran Khan. Pahod has been, Shahid Sattar Sahib spoke about that, that is the Pahod has been done with the special favors and then terms, that the first ever willing agreement which is executed with the exit and entry clause of the project, that the love boy. Now what willing has, on one side we are talking about the competitive market, on other side the discourse has challenged the willings that they want that the losses, their losses has to be included into the willing charges. The use fair of point. System is a fair enough. And then CSS, let's say and then the standard cost of the banking on the competitive market, we say there would be no banking. In competitive market, there would be no banking. Like if I'm a generator and there is a buyer, and today my buyer is getting my 100 megawatt and tomorrow it is off, and then I'm available, I'm delivering the grid, I want my electric energy to be stored. But now competitive market says its settlement would be based, energy settlement would be based on the marginal cost. Whereas a wheeling says that it has to be a balancing banking concept. Discourse it should have to be a balancing concept. But the most failure is that when the discourse say when you do the wheeling, you will have to do it like a system.
Bhutasab, jaldi kar le. People are getting anxious.
Sir,
bas, to, I think
okay, no? last 1 minute. And then the most strange thing that the discos are willing that if we do the wheeling, the buyer and seller of the wheel, the system operator should be given the right of economic dispatch. Come on, what is this? Once you are in the central dispatch now, it cannot be willing, but two buyer and seller agreed. So you cannot put into an economic dispatch altogether. The competition is not being to be created into the current one. And how we can expect CTBCM can be implemented, whereas grid code cannot accommodate, today's grid code cannot accommodate provincial grids established, no, HVDC cannot be operated according to the current grid code, and the commercial code does not have the MO and SPT operations.
Okay, Bhutasab, I have to cut you off now, sorry. Both lambo. There was somebody from NTDC who wanted to speak, but I think he's left in frustration. Are you there, gentleman from NTDC? I don't think so. Okay, Tahir Dinsa Saab, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, finally. Okay, finally. Thank you. I will take only 90 seconds. I'll not speak for a very long time.
Good.
Actually, Will Durant has said that the first lesson we learn from history is that we don't learn from the history. I personally think that pull is not going to work here. We need a push. And what I'm saying is, when you nail and to drive a nail in something, you apply a very large force for a very short time. And when you want to pull the nail back out, you apply a small force for a very long time. When you apply a small force for a very long time, that is the period when you negotiate. In 1998, when Nader Parvez was doing all that negotiations, I would quickly quote two examples from the history and then stop. There was a gentleman lawyer, Afridi, who was taken from the New York, young boy, and brought here, and IPPs established his all setup here in a plaza. And he was the lawyer of the IPPs. And the reason was that his father was the judge of the arbitration court of the Paris Chamber of Commerce. When a guarantee of an IPP was called $30 million, government of Pakistan knew that it is not one lump. It is 1 million, 1 million, 1 million, and you have to run around. And that failed because first they apply a short force and then second, when, 90 seconds khatam ho gaye. So I think this arbitration, it is a sovereign thing. You need to do that. And that is how you're going to build the cat.
Thank you. Achha ji, I'll go back to the panel now. There's no other hands. So we'll go back to the panel. Aisha Bibi, I'll give you the first crack, whatever you want to say. My view is we've got ourselves into a huge mess. Armina is absolutely right. Armina, I also want to come back to you because I noticed you said CPPA has done a lot of work. So I went to the CPPA website and I looked up. They have two or three documents there. Yes, they have documents there. But Armina, they're all prepared by the Asian Development Bank, which is probably the reason why CPPA doesn't want to talk, because I don't think they understand those documents. So
there are very qualified people who know the thing in CPPA very well. I think this is very unfair to them. And I'm talking engineers, economists, financial analysts, etc. A whole range of expertise who are very qualified, very competent, and it's unfair.
Rashid Saab, let me come back a little, please. I am looking at their website right now. Actually, let me share the screen with you, okay? We'll share the screen. Because quite frankly, I think we have these myths roaming around as if there's a lot of work being done. Here is their website, right? This is what we have. Brief notes on the electricity market, okay? I just downloaded it. In fact, I downloaded it before, right? Okay, take a look. I mean, I can only go by evidence. You tell me to go by evidence. And then you don't want evidence. Here.
Nadeem Saab, clarify.
Karne. I'm not making any false charges. I'm just saying I've gone through all four documents. There are only four documents here. Rashid Saab, you can't keep changing your approach. Sometimes when we say something, you say, I need evidence. I'm giving you evidence. Where is the report? I look for evidence. PID is doing its own work, putting it out. If I see donor reports, I don't see own work. Go ahead, Armina Bibi.
Gee, I was just going to say it's the way that these organizations work. Unfortunately, they're very reliant on outside support for capacity building, quote unquote. Okay. So AEDB gave them the resources, money and otherwise, to help with this market building, initiative. Very briefly, Rashid Saab and myself, we interacted with that team, with the AEDB team or the consultants that were hired by them and the CPPAG team. And I guess our point of view comes from that experience. CPPAG was completely raw, or their current team was completely raw when they took them on. But 2 years later or 3 years later, you could see the transformation that came about and the capacity that they had inculcated within the organization. Okay. So there are some good people there, and unfortunately, maybe all the output is not on the website to see. But
so can,
we do
can
not
you please convey to them that the people of Pakistan would like to see some output from our own people? We are sitting in 2020. We don't want Gustav Papanek to be ruling us today and giving us donor reports. Where is our own agency's work? I'd like to see that.
The logic behind doing it this way is that there is no need to reinvent the wheel. So the strategy they adopted was to go around and study the international markets and then figure out the best model for Pakistan. So these reports that you see are mostly on that international experience.
I just mentioned that this thing about not reinventing the wheel, I find that very, very remiss, because unfortunately, we need to invent the wheel in this country. There is no wheel in this country. We don't have it yet. So if you're going to get the Asian Development Bank to reinvent the wheel, this is what we did with the World Bank in 94 and why we are sitting in a mess. I think it's time we started taking responsibility. This is why we are holding these webinars. It's not Asian Development Bank. We asked them to come and present their report here. They refuse to do that. They don't even want peer review. So let's be clear what we want to achieve. And I think part of the problem is we are not clear at all. Now I got the NTTC guy again. Let me take him on. Shahid Saab, bataiye please. Shahid Abbas Saab. Shahid Abbas Saab, are you there?
Sir, may I say that I would
Shahid
like
Abbas
to...
Saab. Shahid Abbas Saab, kahan
wo jo NTTC. Assalamu alaikum, sir. First of all, thank you very much, sir, for giving me opportunity to ask question from expert of power sector. Sir, my first consumption of electricity is fixed around 120 terawatt hour from last 2 to 3 years. My question is, how CTBCM will reduce cost of electricity through competition when demand is fixed? For example, if we increase distribution companies from 10 to 20, how discourse or how competition will reduce cost of electricity? My second question is, Pakistan is consuming 50% of total electricity in domestic or residential sector, whereas China is consuming just 16%, and India is consuming only 24% of total electricity in domestic sector. Now, my question is, how CTBCM can plan how to shift the 50% of electricity that is used in domestic sector, you can say a luxury electricity, how CPPAG or CPPM can shift the consumption of electricity from the economy? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, thank you. Acha ji, chaliye, let's go to Aisha Bibi. Aisha Bibi, go ahead, tell us.
Nadeem, if you give me, I want to speak.
Boliye, bilkul, bilkul.
Here is the report. For a change, you have opened the one of the ADB's documents. I don't deny it that is the starting point. And I don't also want to hold back from CPPA staff spends a lot of time working with the international consultants, has acquired a lot of the knowledge that those consultants have. Incidentally, their experience was first in Spain, etc., etc. But the CPPA staff have customized and have developed a lot of expertise in customizing the Turkey model, the CTBCM, to Pakistan. I don't want to deny it. It starts with there is an ADB project document, but ultimately there is a CPPA document which is submitted to NEPRA. There is an CPPA document which is submitted to. Can I please?
May I just suggest this, Rashid Saab? Let's have CPPA come here and talk to us, and we'll have this discussion. Right now, I think I take your point. I'm not taking away from it. I'm not accusing CPPA. All I'm saying is I want to see stuff on the website and stuff by our own people and not by ADB. I started life, Rashid Saab, like you 40 years ago, and we were doing capacity building. And the same thing was happening here. The World Bank is coming in, this is coming in. And 40 years later, we've got the same thing going on. How long will this go on? Another 40 years, 50 years? When are we going to start developing our own plans?
Sir, may I speak, sir?
My answer to that is, we were a 12,000 megawatt system then, and we are at 25,000. That's the development.
Okay.
Between those 40 years, the system has tripled. The gas system has in fact gone five times the capacity of the time when you are talking of. It used to transmit 850 million cubic feet a day. Today it's transmitting 4,000 plus. So those are what are the developments.
Yeah, fair enough. But deflated by population, it'll per capita, probably we are still at the same place. Go ahead, Shahid Saab.
Sir, the thing is, I beg to, again, forgiveness from Dr. Rashid Aziz and Ermina. But the thing is that the CTBTM and whatever CPPA has been up to has not been held up to scrutiny by the rest of the country, by the stakeholders. And I'm sorry, the influence or the overall impact of the ADB consultants has been pervasive. And this is my impression, I may be wrong, but this is quite the fact. However, again, I mean, is it the right model? Is it the wrong model? I mean, where is the debate? I don't see any, and I've been part of this sector for a long time. I have yet to come across any document which discusses this. So I'm really confused as to how, you know, this thing has been developed in closed doors and so forth and submitted to NEPRA, and they call a public hearing, so-called, and that is enough. That's not. Thank you.
Okay, ji. Aisha Bibi, go ahead. Your last final sort of thoughts and comments. Ji, Aisha.
Sorry. Sorry about that. So I think that, both Ermina and Rashid Saab and, you know, the other side have made valid points about, you know, how CPPA, how this thing has come about, and, you know, the transitional issues, you know, what kind of model we would have. how do we take the stakeholder input and you know, how that's proceeded. So yes, I mean, we know that they are following a somewhat stated process. So they have, once they develop the plan, I think that goes to NEPRA. In fact, the NEPRA hearings are there along with the plan itself. And I believe I have seen it, you know, at least a few months back, the initial plan. So at least that is available. But you're right that it requires broader consultation. In fact, you know, and that is the reason why, you know, this thing has been delayed. You know, the decision was taken in 2015. At that time, we the document stated we'll have a CBDCM market or a wholesale market by 2020. And, you know, it never materialized. And now Armina is saying that there's a retail market plan for 2023. And so it keeps on getting pushed because there's no leadership from the political side. And there's not enough discussion or, you know, consensus from the political side, from our government, that this needs to happen, or, you know, what are the pros and cons, or if we are to go for it, you know, how would we do it? And so, you know, all that happens is, you know, ADB behind closed doors, you know, along with the consultants helping CPPA make this plan, and CPPA taking it to NEPRA, following whatever the stated process is, but that, you know, then never gets out into public discourse. And, you know, then there are all kinds of contradicting voices, you know, when the document finally gets to the high level decision making authorities, which then ends up delaying, you know, the decision making processes further. So that's, you know, the reality of how things have progressed and, you know, why things have stalled. In terms of, you know, what CPPA has done, how much capacity it has. Now, I think it has embarked on the process. In fact, it has two capacity building programs, not just with ADB. It has one with LAMS, it has one with NUST as well. And that program has been going on for about a year and a half, in which, you know, different CPPA members, as well as NTDC members, as well as DISCO members come, and, you know, they are taking part in trainings which have to do not just with, you know, the engineering side of it, but also the management, the economics, and the legal side of this transitioning to markets. And that program is called the Electricity Markets Professionals Program. So, I mean, not to doubt their intentions or their effort, you know, is it sufficient or not? I think, you know, there is, you know, inadequacy on the side of the government as well. Our, you know, political decision-making processes, and, you know, that basically remains, you know, one of the hurdles for us to transition, you know, in a fair or transparent manner towards, you know, any of these models.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Aisha Bibi, thank you. Amer Durrani?
So thank you very much. I think, sir, just to sum up today's discussion, and I think it's important that we understand that this is the game of lenses. And at the core of the game of lenses, what I mean by lenses, everyone is wearing their own lens. You have the bond markets lens. I have the distributed generation lens, because I look at, I roam around Pakistan and probably see more of the real outdoor Pakistan. Then, so I carry that lens because I see underserved, unserved, etc. I think Shahid has the industry lens, but also I think he has a much wider. Chima Saab obviously has an inside lens, which comes with, you know, certain realizations which once he's out. But I think that, you know, I want to answer this question about capacity, because I think it's important that we keep biting at each other about the fact that, you know, whenever we say, oh, no, we have a lot of capacity. So I think, Nadeem Saab, you, Rasha Saab, or myself, I mean, aap log mere saath, you've been around longer in these institutions, but I know that when I had to push $500 million down the throat of any country, I had to be kind of semi-patronizing, right? I mean, I had to go back there. And actually, the only way my board would buy a loan to whatever, like, let's say, the in Kazakhstan, you know, competing with EBRD, I'd have to push down $500 million. So I'd say, well, you know, there is hope. They have achieved this much and blah, blah, blah. So when I heard, I mean, hearing ourselves speak about the capacity, there is no resident capacity in Pakistan. I have to please beg you to realize that. The only capacity we have, I mean, I'm on the Corporate Advisory Council co-chair in NUST for the energy. I'm also have babysat CASEN. I think everybody knows that. I'm also on the board of bioenergy with NUST. What do these professionals do when they come there? Let me tell you honestly, they are there to try and do one of two things. If they are aged, they want to get their children out into the right universities. The second is their learning is perfunctory. They want to go on a next course. I'm being very straightforward. As a human being, I think sometimes it's important for us to understand that what is thwarting the debate is that the debate is not being allowed to take place in the right place, right? That is what I think Ermina is, and Rashid Saab would like to say, this debate, and I think that's what you want to say. Let's have this debate at the place where it can make a difference, because otherwise, you know, we can keep talking about this and people, you know, the donors will keep coming by and they'll be patronizing because they need to transport money. That's their performance benchmark. Let me give you two examples from the energy sector today. These models, the when we talk of CTBCM, if you visualize CTBCM, it will not work if one of your generator is 1400 kilometers away. CTBCM will work when you have almost a mimicry or a mimicking of a localized generation setup with a localized distribution setup. I mean, that there is no wonder that when Germany decentralized, that four, including one of their NTDCs, are now own 76% of the grid. But that grid is not going helter-skelter. It's in an area. It's like, you know, Punjab has an area, the north will be an area. What's wrong with that? You know, we cannot even agree on different energy prices across Pakistan. Why is that? Right? So, sir, I think the debate, you know, this is very good. But I mean, my closing remarks is, please, let's all not lose hope. I would like to talk more about this. Because if we don't, then the future is at risk. And I think we need to bring the government more and more and more into this and stop telling us as a government. Our government wears nice shirts. They are very intelligent. But do they think about Pakistan? No, they don't. Thank you.
Shahid Sattar, any last words?
If I may,
The first of all, Akhtar Ali Saab made some very valid comments. And but the basic issue, as far as I am aware, is that if the market is allowed to work, it will reduce the price. But and the market is not being allowed to work by the very government that is trying to say that it is going to make the market work. And CPPA is just the front face of the government. And as such, without breaking the political economy of the power sector, we can't move forward. So, and my firm belief is that irrespective of whatever models, whatever wheeling, whatever we try to do, nothing will work in Pakistan unless we break this nexus first.
Hima Saab, you wanted to say something?
Just half a minute, sir.
Go ahead. I wanted
to give some information.
Sum it up as much as you can, Ji.
So India started with the whole process in 2004 when they allowed open access. That is, in other words, wheeling. They allowed it. And in 2006, they set up the wholesale market, which was firmed up in 2008. And by now, anything between 6 to 8% of the power is marketed. I mean, it has taken so many years, 16 years, and still everything is in a limbo, still in the process, but at least they are on it. So the best thing is for Pakistan to provide open access to the buyers and sellers. I am happy to know that Ermina Sahiba says that there are thousands. So let's allow them to operate. This is the first thing which needs to be done. And I'll then differ a little bit with my friend Shahid Sattar when he says that the CPPAG is the mouthpiece of the government. No, it is not the mouthpiece of the government. It isn't that big. It is just the mouthpiece of the power divine, and that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ji. Thank you, folks. I think we've had a very good webinar again. Amir Durrani, you're absolutely right. We come at each other with our lenses. And yes, of course, we want to continue the dialogue primarily because, quite frankly, this dialogue should, NEPRA and CPP, everybody should come into the dialogue. And this dialogue should have been held many years ago. And we should continue to hold it because this is the only way to do business. Hiding in rooms is not going to do it. Secondly, when you say we have so many lenses, yes, of course, setting up a market is a very complex thing. You can't do it on an ADB report and you can't do it. Otherwise, we would have had many things. As I said, I have worked on setting up many markets. And despite many very well-written technical reports that we left behind, the markets still have not taken off. We know the markets haven't taken off because you need local champions, you need local people to make the market. Unless local people are doing it, technical assistance. I just did it in Africa recently. And, you know, yeah, you go and leave a report. It's easy to do. I can write it in overnight in a hotel and I can do it. But I used to tell my colleagues that I know you're not interested. So this is a report. I've written it for my bosses, not for anybody else. So the question is, anybody taking leadership here? Are we owning these markets? Are we thinking it through? And please, let's forget it. It's not reinventing the wheel. Setting up a market is a hugely complex task. Many people have won the Nobel Prize for it, and we still don't know how to set up a market. I won't say we know it. It's a complex task that has to evolve a market. And let's get cerebral about it. Let's not think that it's just one ADB report that'll do it. Thank you, folks. I appreciate taking off your time, all the roundtable. I'm very thankful to you. Inshallah, we'll have another one very soon. Thank you. All the best, folks. Any ideas, please tell me. Thank you. Bye-bye.